right, welcome to Learn It From a Layman. I'm Carl Christensen, here with my brother Cameron Christensen, new to this episode. And once again, unfortunately, Tim Cox has found his way onto the podcast.
I'm like a stain. You'll never be rid of me. I'm like guilt. You'll also never be rid of me unless I forgive you for, you know, shaming me like this. And then you won't feel guilty and you'll be rid of me.
Or you have a good therapist.
Good therapist. Yeah, pay good money to get rid of Tim.
That's right.
Like an exorcist.
Exorcist therapist. The only difference is whether the there's lots.
Are you still talking? Okay. All right. So today's topic, as teased from last week, is going to be should I eat it and how? So the idea here is I'm going to list some substances that we as children or maybe adults in secret have either wondered or actually tried eating. And we will discuss as Cameron and Tim will be able to take a minute and decide whether or not they think that this thing, this substance I will list, should be edible and in what manner it would be edible if it is. And then I will reveal what I have learned, and we will proceed in that manner. So here we go. Number one, paper. So Tim, Cameron, should we and how could we eat paper?
I think first we have to define what type of paper are we talking about.
Yeah,
that is a good point.
Are we talking about like a dissertation, a paper?
That's a lot of paper.
Right.
And it's dry.
Okay, so we're just talking, imagine your normal, either your printer paper, your white lined paper, you know, just if you think the first thing that pops to your head when you think paper,
okay,
should you eat it and how?
I'm gonna share my thoughts on eating paper, which are routine and regular. I think that first of all, paper looks a bit more innocuous than it is. You know, you're like, oh, just white paper, you know, just simple wood pulp and whatever. But I think that you're like bright, you know, high, you know, albedo or whatever printer paper, I think it's probably been through a number of chemical processes getting treated or whatever. So I'll bet there's more to it than just simple wood pulp. So I would be, if you had like some good old, like just run a, you know, like homemade, like hardcore organic wood pulp paper, then yeah, I'd probably snack some of that if you had some salt or whatever. But if it's like your really nice, you know, bright printer paper or high gloss paper, I mean, I don't think you get sick from eating it. You'd probably just be like, this is gross. But, you know, I don't think I would eat it.
All right.
Okay, well, as one who's actually eaten a fair, well, maybe not a lot of paper, but has eaten paper in the day, you know, the lined paper as from a childhood, I remember eating that, you know, writing and something secret. I have eaten some paper, but I think now I might try to go a little fancier with it. I would run it through a shredder first, so you have those strips.
And you get then some texture. You know,
eat it with some noodles. I think you could use it as a garnish and actually get away with it.
You know, and running it through a shredder, it would better absorb, like if you had like some butter sauce or gravy, you know, you kind of soak it in. Okay.
Yeah.
You're selling me.
I think you could do it. I'm pro eating paper.
Okay. That you know, you had some good insights there, both of you. Good insights into what I researched and found, though the fact that you both had some insight into this is disturbing. Because it turns out one of the first things I found when researching eating paper is that there is actually a paper eating disorder.
What?
Which apparently is not all that uncommon, though I've never met anyone that has it. What?
Pica?
Yeah, and Cameron is, of course, familiar with it.
There we go.
That's correct. Yeah, pica. I don't know, pica or pica, whatever it's called. Anyway,
I think it's pica. But
okay.
Yes,
no, I'd go with the man that actually knew about it beforehand.
Any foreign object like dirt and stuff like that.
That's correct. And once again, Cameron for the win. There, apparently, yeah, this is a thing that people have, and so if any of our listeners have this this urge to eat paper and dirt, or apparently feces, or some other undesirable object, go get that taken care of.
So they kind of say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I guess we could say deliciousness is in the mouth of the chewer.
No. Nope. There's some actual science.
You just offended a bunch of people.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that one either, Tim. That is an actual medical condition. Usually it happens. More of the dirt is for lack of minerals, you know.
So you're like replenishing. Yeah.
I would say go talk to a doctor or, you know, a therapist and start taking multivitamin. You should probably have that taken care of.
Yeah. Very true. All right. So, yeah.
In the meantime, have someone keep your valued journals and books.
Or
from you. Yeah, lock them.
Best of both worlds here. Wrap your multivitamin up in some paper and just eat it that way.
Yeah. Or you wean yourself off by using an actual, like, you know, edible form of paper, like rice paper. And all these little candies from, I think, China or somewhere. But it's like, it's kind of like a Tootsie Roll, but it's white and it comes in like rice paper. So it's kind of a cool feeling because you like eat the paper and then the candy. And
so back to the facts, research facts. Once again, apparently Cameron knows all about this subject, but I'm going to tell you what I learned because apparently I'm the real layman on the subject. So once again, pica, that's a thing. But generically, as Tim said, the some of the issues with the paper that we have right now is there's bleaching agents, there are chemicals, toxins in the inks that are applied, you know, in the lined paper. So you're not just getting a normal piece of paper. But the biggest concern is that it blocks your gut. And so what Cameron actually said once again with the shredding could come in useful. That might help with being not as much of an obstacle to digest in the gut. But once again, if you're eating too much paper, it's going to block the gut, I think, regardless of the form, and that could cause you to need surgery. So paper is out.
All right. Noted.
Right. Okay, and at this moment, I believe we are now joined by Matt Christensen as well. Hey, Matt.
Hi.
Matt, okay. We have just learned you should not eat paper.
Noted.
And Cameron knew far too much about the subject. So,
also noted.
I blame school for that.
That's right. Education. It ruins a man.
Yeah, yeah. Learn it from a layman. Layman. Okay, on to the next. So, Matt, I'm going to give you you and Cameron and Tim now a object or some type of potential edible thing, and you will give us reasons why you may or may not eat that object, and how you would if you were to eat it. So, moving on from paper, we are now on bugs.
I'm sorry, did you say bugs?
I said bugs. We're trying to stick with a theme similar to last week's episode.
So. Right. did we just start raving, or do you want
more info? You can rave as much as you'd like.
So, you should not eat bugs because, come on, that's why we have mammals.
Okay, so Matt's in the mammal corner.
Okay, I'm going to throw out here and share a horrifying experience that I had. And I'm going to put out there that most people listening have probably already consumed bugs without even knowing it. And I'm not even just talking about the accidental, peanut butter is allowed to have so much bug matter in it. I'm talking about actually as an ingredient. And I learned that horrifyingly, some like drinks, for example, that are dyed red will have a certain bug. It's like from it's native to Mexico, but it's ground up and it makes a red dye. It's like an organic red dye, and so it's actually not an uncommon ingredient in some things already. So
energy drinks, I believe, is the common ingredient. It goes into energy drinks.
Oh, there you go.
I think you're thinking of cochineal, but the point is, whether or not you should consume the bug, not whether or not everyone does it. Well, everyone is doing it is a common justification for horrible activities like texting while driving or rooting for the Patriots.
But that you're here.
I should do this thing. In fact, behaviors like that can lead to loss of income, loss of home, loss of your car to your cousin.
I admit nothing.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, we can, I mean, some of us have definitely had more adventurous lives, you know, been in the Far East more often. You go to markets. I mean, there's all sorts of fried cockroach or fried crickets and scorpions you can eat over in China. Survival training teaches you which insects you should eat, you know, to survive.
Yeah. And I'll add to that.
I think I'm just going to have to go beloved cartoon, The Lion King, you know, Timon and Pumbaa. You know,
yes.
Satisfying.
No. Yeah, but remember, what happened to Timon and Pumbaa in The Lion King? They got killed by hyenas.
I don't remember that scene.
Well, it was there.
Okay. It was in the director's cut.
The hyenas because the hyenas ate mammals and Timon and Pumbaa ate bugs. I mean, you can do it, but you're just buying yourself a place lower on the food chain.
There you go. Now, I will put this out there in support of eating bugs. People nowadays have a much higher awareness of, you know, carbon footprint and that kind of thing. And you know, different meats have different carbon footprints. You know, a pound of beef requires more, you know, carbon than a pound of pork, which requires more carbon than a pound of chicken. But a pound of cricket, for example, requires less than any of them. And so it's been touted as kind of a more environmentally friendly source of protein if you can just wrap your head around, you know, eating bugs. So
that's correct.
I have to dispute that because crickets are largely composed of carbon. So whoever did that study was not thinking.
Right. And they're gross.
Okay. All right. Time for the researched.
All right.
And,
let's hear it.
Yes. Okay. So bugs are, as you we know, socially unacceptable. So Matt's got the, you know, at least in our Western society, socially, should I eat bugs would probably be a no, right? Because you're going to see some social downsides to eating, being the one weirdo that eat bugs. However, as Cameron said, there are other cultures where it's socially entirely acceptable. So that now we have to take that, the social part, out of the picture, because we are, of course, a worldwide podcast. And talk more about the nutrition of the bugs. And so, as Tim mentioned, they are seen as a very high-quality protein source that is environmentally friendly, though there is research ongoing there, Tim. So
that's true. It's not as simple as we might assume, right?
Correct. Yeah, there's a whole branch of research looking into the downsides of raising large quantities of bugs.
Yeah, the fact that mass producing, you know,
right,
brings its own carbon implications.
Correct.
I think you could increase your snake, vole, maybe bat populations.
So. Right. And who wants that? But yeah, so there's the protein. There is this interesting plus eating bugs that I had not considered. Apparently, bugs, because they are so genetically dissimilar from humans, the risk of acquiring diseases from bugs is almost zero. So where we have mad cow disease and you know, these crossover diseases that come from mammals because they're kind of genetically similar to us, bugs are so dissimilar that we cannot get their illnesses.
Oh. Well, you did say almost zero, right? So when we look at, in my profession, when we look at risk management, we look at risk as a combination of two factors, severity of impact and probability of occurrence. And although the probability of occurrence is low for a bug-related disease, if you get, like, mad bug disease, to me, that impact is far worse than mad cow disease.
Right. Well, I think Carl is mostly hyping on this is because he is predisposed to actually getting mad.
That is true.
Well, that's right.
So is Tim.
I mean, imagine if you got parasitic wasp disease.
Yeah.
Never mind.
You don't even in a cocoon and, you know, die.
Okay, Matt seems to be very much in the corner of let's not eat bugs or discuss why bugs could ever be good.
I'm not in the no bug corner. I'm in the only corner. There are no other corners.
Matt's room is a teardrop, kind of. There's one corner.
Okay, so, but then I guess on Matt's end of things, there are bugs that you should not eat. And like Cameron said, there are specialists that, you know, survival people that could teach you specifically. But in general, if our audience is now thinking, let me go try some bugs, don't eat slugs and snails. Because they themselves are potentially harmless, they feed on toxic stuff that could kill you. So, and they also often crawl through feces, like rat feces. And there's actually a documented instance relatively recently of a man that ended up as a vegetable because on a dare he ate a snail.
I heard about that, yeah. But escargot, so like if it's fried up in butter, is that okay?
I'd imagine so. But
I'm assuming we're talking about raw versus cooked, because when you're cooking, you're going to kill the bacteria and stuff
That's also true. So yeah, this comes in the and how. So most bugs are better eaten cooked because they're significantly safer. So
a tropical grub, you know, can you eat that raw?
You can. I have personally done this. Are you trying to elicit a story from me?
Would I?
All right. So one time,
wood grub. Wood.
I have eaten both fried grub and fresh grub, and taste wise, I recommend fresh grub. And the reason that grubs are more okay to eat raw is that they live in trees and therefore don't have exposure to these outside bacteria. And so if you cut down the tree and pull out the grubs, you're safe to eat those raw because they are pretty benign as far as bacteria is concerned. So I have crushed the head of a living grub that is, well, I don't know, it was 2 or 3 inches long, had pinchers. You gotta crush the head and then eat it. Tasted a bit like a maple gusher.
It is horrifying.
Yeah, so yeah. I the fried one not as tasty, turns out. But once again, for safety issues, if you're going to eat a random bug, which you probably shouldn't eat a random bug, cook it up, and that's going to, like Cameron said, remove the bacteria. But don't eat tarantulas, don't eat bees and wasps, and be careful with caterpillars.
Why not tarantulas?
You can, apparently, but you have to remove the hair. And the fangs. So.
Oh. Wait. That reminds me of something I saw once. Andrew Zimmer, you know, the bizarre food eater guy, he did a special on Africa. He ate a bunch of spiders. I can't remember what kind they were, but it was.
Yeah. So when I was researching this, I did see that even in the place where it said don't eat tarantulas, it said there were a bunch of spiders that are good to eat. And it said you can eat tarantulas, but you better try to remove most of the hair. Remove the fangs and then cook it.
Deep fried the spiders that they were eating.
Right.
So. They were surprisingly tasty. But, you know, he eats weird food all the time, so I don't know what that means.
Right. So, okay. Let's move on from bugs, because I'm sure Matt would love us to.
Yes.
Okay. And we're on to number three, this grass.
Ooh.
So, you eat grass and how?
No, you should not eat grass because grass has bugs in it.
Right.
I doubt that you would even taste the aphids.
That's right. Yeah, just add a little tang to it. It's like vinaigrette.
Well, see, I would see problems eating the grass just straight off because our bodies can't process it. Because there's too much, I can't remember what the structure is called. But anyway.
Bugs.
No, the molecular structure, the physical, like how it's built. The
cellulose? Is that the...
Yeah, the cellulose. There's too much of that that so our bodies can't process it because we don't have the right bacteria to break it down. But anyway.
We also don't have four stomachs.
I've been ruminating on that recently, and
some would argue that Tim probably does have four stomachs.
I developed the talent.
So, aside from that, wouldn't you also be looking at some severe cleanliness issues? I mean, if you just go out and start grazing, you're going to get all of the, you know, stuff that has walked on the grass and relieved itself on the grass and died to grass and you know, all of that stuff.
That and plus lots of fertilizer and chemicals, depending on the type of grass.
Grass seems to be almost just a notch below bugs, which is to say it is the worst possible thing that you could ingest ever.
I would, of all of these things, grass would be so far one of my top on the list, provided it was, you know, grass that had, say, grown in a yard without a dog, for example. And, you know, I could kind of rinse it and snip it, and, you know, I'd eat it. It wouldn't poison me. Maybe
Tim
give me a little bit of the
grass, Whole Foods.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, they do have, yeah, like wheatgrass and stuff that you can put into your Jamba Juice. Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we have to go with type of grass then. You know, is the Kentucky bluegrass better than the Bermuda grass?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Flavor.
All right, Carl, what's the...
Okay, so final word on the subject.
There's also the social aspect before we get to it. I mean, imagine you're with a group of distinguished gentlemen. You're on the ninth green. You're hoping to land that job. And you just start grazing. I mean, how is that going to look? Greens committee is going to probably have removed.
Hey, but it's a potential job, though. I mean, you got to see it as...
I don't think you're making it back from that interview.
Lawnmower. okay. Matt and Cameron have lots of good insight on this that were my first gut instincts as well. And Tim's got some... yes, my gut instincts. Very, very useful in this list. Tim is too much of a hippie for his own good in this case. So grass, there are a couple problems with eating grass. Most of which Matt and Cameron listed. Human stomachs cannot truly digest raw leaves and grass. So it passes right through. We don't get anything from it. And cows have specialized stomachs, and so that's, you know, why they can get nutrients from it where we cannot. But aside from the digestion issues, there is this other issue, and that's the chewing. The mastication of grass is a problem that we would, if that became a staple of your diet. Grass contains a lot of what's called, I think it's pronounced silica, and it's abrasive, so it'll quickly wear your teeth down. Uh-huh. And so animals that graze have teeth that are adapted to continually grow. And so they essentially replace their teeth as needed. So when a tooth is worn down, it just builds back up. So a dentist nightmare.
Uh-huh.
So we have that problem. And then, yes, like I said, aside from that, there's a practical, like Matt said, if you're going to go out and try to grab some grass and you live in a city, like the majority of humans, you're going to be looking at grass that's been treated, that has dog urine and feces and all kinds of junk in it. So for those reasons, as Tim mentioned, there are types of grass, but those are usually used for varieties of tea and that type of stuff. Instead of actually consuming.
And you usually run them through a juicer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you just get the juice.
Yep. So, grass is a no-go. Sorry, Tim. Hippie.
All right.
Take a bath.
Change
my...
raw potatoes.
Oh.
Didn't we learn about this one when we were, like, in elementary school or something?
Very likely.
Especially if you grew up in Idaho.
Well, other than you can, you know, power a light bulb from the raw potato. Let's see what else you can do. I remember from Scouts, if you don't cook the potato enough, it gives you more gas.
Well, I do know that if a potato has been growing and it's been exposed to sunlight, it turns green, and that actually it produces a toxin that I don't think it'll kill you unless you eat, like, you know, large quantities of it, but it could give you some definite indigestion. So I would vote no on the raw potatoes. Probably not a safe bet.
All right. Any to the contrary?
Just intuitively, it seems like this is one where you're going to tell us how raw potatoes are one of the most potent naturally occurring poisons in the nature. I don't
all right.
I will eat my raw potato with ketchup.
Okay, so you've got a lot of good insight on the potatoes as well. So they do have a toxin. It's called solanine. And you can remove some of that by peeling, but some of that remains. They also have... So this is a bit ambiguous in the research I did. Something called anti-nutrients, which, by the way, I didn't even know existed. That sounds like fake, made up to me. Like someone that didn't want to eat something and therefore said this has anti-nutrients.
Or really scientifically cryptic, like antimatter, you know?
Right.
What happens when anti-nutrients meet up with nutrients, you know?
Black hole. But anti-nutrients apparently can also not be good. They make it so it's harder to essentially absorb nutrients, and that's the reason they're called anti-nutrients. But anti-nutrients have another name called phytochemicals. And if you're familiar with phytochemicals, there's a lot of research saying phytochemicals are good for you. So it's a very mixed bag as far as research goes as to whether or not a raw potato, the anti-nutrients in a raw potato would be good for you or bad for you. Some papers I read said it's bad. Some said good. The toxin causes a problem. And like Tim said, that what it comes down to is, well, it actually could kill you in the end. The majority of the toxin is just going to give you some discomfort. And then the uncooked starch, and that's what mostly it comes down to. If uncooked starch in the potatoes causes digestive issues, and that's gas and bloating. And so if you'd like to be gaseous, flatulent, you know, generally you want a good bloat, then raw potatoes really are the ticket.
So if I wanted to, say, pull an April Fool's prank on someone, could I, like, blend some raw potato into their smoothie?
Yeah, that would probably be the way to go, Tim.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so that's raw potatoes. Nice. What was that, Matt?
I said, what's next?
Okay. Bean sprouts. Go.
Ooh.
So we have a potentially dangerous food here. I know a little bit about sprouts because of the food safety classes I've had to take. So you do have to, if you grow your own sprouts or use sprouts in your restaurant, you have to actually get a food variance license to do that. Because there's such potential... cause for botulism and such. I think it's botulism. Anyway, potentially bad bacteria that can get there. But I love me some sprouts on my sandwiches, so it's kind of a mixed bag there.
So you're saying the sprouts themselves are healthy and delicious and eat them up, but there's a high risk.
If not, they can get you.
Okay. So
they're a highly dangerous for young children and venerable generations, but you know, they're really tasty. I mean, sprouts are good. So
yeah, I seem to recall it's not the sprouts as much as the things that can be on them.
Yeah.
I actually remember visiting your guys' house and as a kid, and that was kind of my first experience eating sprouts.
Don't read too much into it. We weren't trying to off you, maybe.
That's right. Dang it, he didn't get botulism again. He's just been nutritiously fed.
Yeah, I also recall Mom learning about sprouts shortly thereafter and then they disappearing from our fridge forever.
Yes.
It's too bad, darn it. So okay. I'm gonna go on the vote as, yeah, I'll eat sprouts, you know, as long as I trust the source. And
okay.
There you go.
So,
yeah, yellow sprouts.
Okay, so we got mostly sprouts are acceptable, maybe. So here's what the research does. So first of all, sprouts are really kind of in vogue. They're you know, kind of the superfood du jour. And
bless
so,
you.
Yeah, I know. We shouldn't use French on this podcast.
That's French for superfood for hippies.
That's right.
So it's the superfood for today.
Yeah, exactly.
Show off.
Thank you for the translation for all those non-French speaking members of our audience. Okay. So yeah, so there are huge benefits to eating sprouts, broccoli sprouts, apparently, according to a lot of food scientists, are like the superfood. Like, they, you know, have all kinds of good nutrients that fight off all types of issues, and so antioxidant rich, all kinds of goodness in sprouts, and so there are a lot of reasons to like sprouts, but like Cameron started off with, you really have to be careful, and so here are a couple of reasons. Like Cameron said, there's bacteria considerations. Sprouts obviously need to be warm and humid to sprout from the seed into the sprout, and that is also, of course, the same environment that bacteria love to thrive, and so that is the reason that you're going to have those issues. Of the last two decades, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has linked 48 outbreaks of foodborne illness to raw or lightly cooked sprouts. So 48, that's quite a few. And so, yeah, sprouts can be problematic in that they are laced with bacteria. And so, and in particular, organic sprouts, which there's, once again, organic is all in the rage right now. Organic, ironically, is significantly more dangerous here because the fertilizer that you use in organic farms and producers is manure. And
black seeds. Water or yeah, right.
So organic seeds sitting in manure, okay, you can imagine that that's a problem, and so they're potentially more risky. So the solution to this is, so if you can grow them at home and then you can be particularly careful with them, and that's the ultra hippie thing to do, which of course we do at my home.
Yes,
because we are ultra hippies. And then you just chill. You make sure you chill them. Once they sprouted, you chill them. You stop that bacteria in its tracks. And then you just make sure they're not slimy or they don't smell bad. But yeah, if you're going out to the store and get picking yourself up some sprouts, just be careful. Make sure that you wash them really well, that you chill them. And then if you can cook them, cooked sprouts are the way to go. If you can do that, because obviously then you're going to kill off the bacteria, and so that's in the case with the kidney beans. I think that's like required. There's a toxin or bacteria, I don't remember exactly, that is inherent to beans, that if you don't cook them, it's like poisonous to some degree. So
wow,
yeah, so watch out those bean sprouts. But yeah,
they're so tasty.
That is true.
But they're also little baby plants. Isn't it kind of like, poor baby plants, you never had a chance.
Next, whole apples, including the core.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to lead off on this one because I still remember attending like I was like 8 years old at the time, maybe nine, and attending some like Cub Scout meeting where I watched this kid eating an apple And he got to where he was like just eating. He had just the core left and he just kept nibbling at it. And then there was less of the core and he kept nibbling at it. And finally he nibbled it completely gone until there was just a stem. And he kind of looked at it a second. He like popped it in his mouth and swallowed that too. He ate the whole thing. It was amazing.
I see some potential problems with an apple. Most pitted or seeded fruit, you can get arsenic from that. So I see some potentials in eating the seeds and all. Granted, you would have to consume a vast amount before that probably would actually cause any damage.
And you'd probably have to like grind up the seeds to really make them like.
Yeah. Yeah. But personally, I don't eat the core. I'm all about the apples though.
Yeah. I think, nature has a way of letting people know what things are delicious and what things aren't. For example, cows are shaped like steaks, so you know they're okay to eat. Caterpillars are brightly colored, so that you know that you're wretched if you eat them, and they'll kill you and make you sad. And then apple cores are shaped like garbage, so that you know that that's not the part that you're supposed to eat.
That's right. Everyone who's watched cartoons know that.
Yeah,
garbage and apple cores, that's what they are. Yeah,
apple cores and rotten peels, banana peels, right? That's that is garbage. Also, that's what you can make your Mr. Fusion can make your car work to apple
pie. Right, that's so, right. Every time you eat an apple core, you're robbing the world of energy that it could have from that apple core. You selfish cow.
Right.
But energy can neither be created nor, you know, destroyed. So
I mean, it could have been harvested in the mystery or whatever.
So if I eat an apple core and then instantly die, then I don't need to feel bad about having, you know.
Generally, if you instantly die, you don't have much time to feel bad about anything. So I'm not sure that's a valid point.
I'll feel more bad about choking on the apple core. Okay. All right, Carl, how do we do?
Okay, yeah. So we've got lots of good insights here, guys.
I have good insights.
The answer is, okay, so like Cameron said, you've got, it's actually cyanide. Cyanide is contained in the seeds. And, you know, you really think that it would be a huge amount of apples in order to die. And it is kind of like way more than you'd eat in a sitting. But at the same time, it's like maybe as many as you have in your house, which is disturbing to think that you have enough apples to kill yourself with. It's 18 apple seeds. 18 apples seeds, not 18 apple seeds.
Oh, okay.
So you'd have to eat the seeds from 18 apples in order to die.
Really? Does anyone here other than Carl have 18 apples in their house right now?
We have a large family, all right? We stock up on apples.
I have 9.
Ooh, that's more than us. We've probably got 5.
I'm impressed that you know that to an exact number.
Halfway there. We went shopping yesterday and we got 9 apples. So
we have more kiwi than we have apples at the moment.
And kiwi does not kill you. It's not poisonous.
You should not be eating kiwi raw.
Also not on the list.
Skin is not.
Okay, swinging back. Apples, therefore. So the seeds can be dangerous, but like I said, and like Tim said, though, also only if chewed, you have to grind up the seeds, but they actually have a coating that protects them from the enzymes that would otherwise break them down. So if you don't, they pass through your system, and the cyanide inside will not be released. Hydrogen cyanide, sorry, that's what's inside of it. And that does, I believe, actually turn into arsenic once it reacts with once it's being digested. But that, like I said, it won't be digested because of the coating on the seed. So that would be the downside. The upside, and this is a large upside, so it's as the core of the apple is approximately 30% in a lot of cases of the apple fruit. And so if you are not eating the apple, you're wasting a large percentage of the food supply. You're wasting your money, and you're also wasting that much potential food. And so those things do end up, like I said, they're prototypical, like you know, trash objects. They fill up landfills like crazy. And so where they're entirely consumable and we throw them away, we're actually doing environmental disservice. So for the hippies in us, eat your apple cores and you're helping the environment. And also for the tightwads in us, which I know there are some among us.
Yes.
It is, you are saving money if you eat them because you are getting your the biggest caloric bang for your buck.
Wait, aren't these cores like 100% biodegradable? Don't they actually turn into pretty much fertilizer, which actually helps the landfill be less filthy?
Well, I mean, if they're bagged inside of a non-biodegradable bag, no.
Oh, well, that's for... Okay, so the real thing is just never to use trash bags.
Yeah, just litter like wild.
So it goes back to what I said. Compost your apple cores.
Compost is an option, but then you are, once again, offending the tightwad in Tim.
Well, and I did used to compost.
Are you offending the tightwad, or are you saving money not buying fertilizer and, you know, dirt and stuff for your garden?
A lot of it depends on your point of view. You mentioned that the core makes up 30% of the fruit. I look at the fruit as the apple is composed of 70% fruit and 30% trash core. And that's just how we define it. And that's what I accept when I purchase my bag of 17 apples because I'm a responsible citizen.
18. No, unless you don't want to have enough to kill
because
yourself.
Because I'm a responsible citizen.
You don't. Right. Yeah, you don't want dangerous chemicals in your home.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. And I understand that when I fling my 17 apple cores unbagged into the city dump, that I have not wasted any fruit. I've consumed all the fruit that there was that was on that apple. All that's left is a core, and I have just enough cores to not be dangerous to whoever runs around grinding up apple seeds between their teeth.
Now I also have to think about this for a second. I think most people eat probably more of the core than they think they do, because when I eat an apple, or when I see my father eat an apple, they eat a fair bit of the core. I mean, I would say, you know, down to maybe 5% that's going to be wasted, you know, not 30.
That is potentially true, depending
on
the...
So, we are through the looking glass here. The question evolved into, is it just the apple core that we should eat, or is the apple itself? Because in the act of eating an apple, you will ingest some of that trash core, and nobody wants to be doing that. So, please,
robbing the landfill of the entire core. So let's just chuck the whole apple with it.
Well, I think we have answered the question, though, that you can have your apple and seed it, too.
Oh, my word.
No.
Please stop.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes.
Last item. Last item, because nobody wants these from Tim anymore.
Got more brewing.
Okay. The whole banana, including the peel. So now we're on the subject of trash.
Ooh, more trash.
Whole banana, including the peel.
Yeah, I have my answer, but I'm going to wait and let you guys talk first.
Well, to me, it's a safety issue. Everyone knows that the banana peel is the single slipperiest object that the world has right now. And that if not properly cared for, it will cause comical mishap and mayhem. And so the only responsible thing to do is eat it. I'm all about this one.
I remember as children trying to actually replicate the hilarious and comical slipping on the banana peel. And yet it never quite worked for us.
That's because I had secretly eaten the peel, and that wasn't a banana peel. It's sandpaper.
All right, I'm sounding off now.
I feel that you're going to come back and tell us why it's probably not a good idea because it's made of like pure cellulose mixed with hydrochloric acid or something like that. But no, I think this is going to be one of the ones where it's okay to eat the banana peel. It tastes a little funky, and
I think I'm going to go with Matt there too, and I think there's more nutrients in the peel in the banana than there is in the actual fruit. I'm going to say that.
The other thing to consider is that if you look at how it's done in nature, the monkey peels the banana. And so I take that as evidence that the banana peel is actually edible, because monkeys are dumb and humans are smarter than they are. So why would we just do what the dumb monkey does?
Yeah.
Now, I read an entire book on bananas, actually. Putting a plug in here for bananas.
Was this a book that you read to your children?
I'm not going to answer that.
Not an entire book, Tim.
No, but seriously, it was called the banana or something, and it's like the history and bananas have crazy history.
I think you disqualify yourself from answering this. You're no longer a layman if you truly know.
Are we talking about the Puerto Rican incident that we funded a terrorist to destroy an indigenous population so we could have better bananas?
Oh, well, there's all that, yes, and not just, you know, Guatemala, and anyways, all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, banana peels are edible. However, I will say this. I would not eat a standard store-bought banana, at least not organic, because your typical banana plantation, they're spraying all sorts of pesticides and chemicals onto the, onto the plants. And so I wouldn't trust the standard banana peel to not have all sorts of stuff on it. But an organically grown banana peel, you can chop that up and cook it up and eat it. No problem.
So, you would rather eat the banana that has not been sprayed with pesticide, which probably has the pests living on it?
Well, as we've established, bugs are fair game.
Oh, wow.
I think it's weird enough that
Carl ended up with a banana savant on this episode here.
Okay. All right. So to wrap this, let's get the final word here. As I think all three of you said, banana peels are kosher. Not probably in the Jewish sense, though I don't know. They are approved by nutritionists. They say that the skin contains high amounts of vitamin B6 and B12 and magnesium and potassium and fiber and protein. So really just chock full. I think Cameron said probably as good or better than the fruit itself. And you can, as you see your banana ripen, the peel gets thinner, right? If you've noticed that before.
Oh, yeah.
And so that you can, clearly tells you that the peel is edible as it actually becomes part of the flesh. So, the banana peels are, once again, also hippie-wise, a landfill filler, and so there's no reason to not eat them. Besides, what there is, you need to wash them well. They might have been sprayed, but if you clean them off well enough, banana peels are edible. And this is a chance for me to once again share a story about a nameless individual who I may have seen eat a whole banana in high school. I think you have to prepare your stomach for that because of the amount of fiber that you're consuming. But he survived, and apparently it was good for him. And so I know firsthand that this is a thing, that eating bananas is a thing that will not kill you, at least. So that wraps up.
A half truth history about bananas. I would recommend watching The Drunk History on Bananas. The guy that, I think it was Puerto Rico, maybe it was another one of those countries down there, but anyway, crazy stuff happened.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
Bananas are the thing.
Okay, well, I think that takes us to the end of this episode. So we will be back again next week. And until then, dream of bugs.
Presumably, if we survive that after sampling all these things that we talked about.